Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
So anyway, the vicar said, you can't do that. Put it away. Hang on. Are we recording?
Are we recording? Yeah, I think we are. Right. Well, hi, Nigel. How are you?
If this one goes... Oh, no. Right, come on. Let's kick it off. Let's do a real one.
Okay, start again.
They've seen enough of the behind the scenes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast. I'm Ray McLennan.
And it's with me, Nigel T. Best. Raymondo. How the devil are you today, sir?
Well, there's a song, Paolo Nutini. It just sprang into my head. I've got a license from my telly and food in my belly. Nothing's going to get me down. He didn't say I've got a full tank of fuel.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Nothing's going to get you down, and nothing's going to make that car move without siphoning some diesel off a neighbor or something. Yeah. We're in a disaster area, Ray. We're in a disaster zone.
Exactly. So fitting then, Nigel, that we should talk about dealing with disasters.
Exactly. We thought that at the moment the media is so full of unicorns, pixie dust, sweetness and light that we ought to just throw in there. Just balance up the media, throw in a few, don't panic, disaster type scenarios here, and how you deal with them. So for anyone in the government, if you're facing a disaster today, which is more than likely because the day ends in a Y, you need to listen and tune in because these might just help you. Over to you, Ray.
Okay, well, we have compiled, naturally, a top 10 tips for dealing with disasters. So let's just crack on.
I don't know. Can you say that?
Let's crack on.
Let's crack off a disaster.
I was going to say let's start off and let's crack on, and I got them mixed up. Right. So as you can see, disasters come in all sorts. Creating podcasts and you can stumble into a disaster just trying to create a top 10 list.
Yeah, or not editing it properly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But they come in all sorts of disguises. So I would say don't ignore, especially your gut instinct, when you get a gut feeling about something, you know, that this is not quite right. Don't ignore it. Guys especially are bad for ignoring things. Women have good gut instincts and tend to go with them. At least they verbalize them a lot, whereas men tend not to. So if you feel something isn't quite right, now we're talking about property proposals, deals, raising finance, obviously that kind of thing. You've raised the money, you're doing the deal, you've got the property, you're halfway through a project, and you've just got that feeling something's not quite right. So if you do have that feeling, do not ignore it. So that's number one.
Yeah, number two is, look, there's lots of things out there. Expect disasters to happen. But secondly, if you expect them to happen, then you can take an action step to mitigate them when they do happen. So typical things, warranties, insurance, you know, make sure you've got the right setup, protection of things. Don't put all your paperwork in, a bundle next to the kindling, next to the log burner, that someone then comes along and then thinks, oh, this paper will get that fire going nice and quickly. You know, don't have all your records disappear. Try and have a backup or something like that. Just take those obvious, simple steps. It always feels like you're wasting money, but the consequences could be a hell of a lot worse. So use that to turn that disaster back into an inconvenience.
Well, one of the things you mentioned insurance there, there's a really good place for small businesses, small business owners, directors to get insurance. And that is the Federation of Small Businesses. Yep. You can join the Federation of Small Businesses. I think it's about 170 quid or 200 quid or something. But it gives you two particular types of insurance. One of them is against a tax investigation. So if your business is investigated or the HMRC pick you to be checked, don't underestimate how much that can cost in terms of your accountant's fees, basically just answering their questions. It's quite time consuming. I think the average cost of a tax investigation, obviously some of them will be huge and some of them won't be so big, but the average cost of a tax investigation is £16,000, £16,000. Now, if you have insurance against that, then obviously the insurance will take over and the insurance will pay. But another good insurance to get is legal expenses insurance, because when you run a business or you're getting involved in raising money, doing anything, there are going to be legal challenges. And if there are, it's a good idea to have legal expense insurance so you can fight that off. So that's the end of number two.
Yeah, and Ray, we'll put a link in. It's on the website. The link to the FSB is on the website. So if you go to htrmoney.co.uk/resources, you'll see there is a link to the FSB because, there's far more in there as well. There's also care angle. So there's health and well-being and loads of resources. So, well worth checking out.
Okay, good. All right. Number three is, you should be informed anyway. You should be keeping up to date with everything that's going on. So you have to stay informed. Now, when I say stay informed, it's not just about the money. It's not just about the profit and loss and the balance sheet and the management accounts. It's also the people that you're working with or working for you. Is to keep in touch with them, see how things are going. So you're doing a development, you'll have obviously a site manager, and you'll have other people that are involved, architects and so on. So it's wise to keep in touch with them and just say, look, how's it going? Is everything okay? Is there anything I should be concerned about at an early stage? And you want to try and get that information as soon as you can. The earlier you've got it, the better you can deal with it. So stay informed.
Yeah, next one. I know Arnold Schwarzenegger was a big fan of you only have plan A. There's no such thing as plan B. But we talk about exits in the CREST model, and you've got to think to yourself, okay, I'm going to plan for this, and this is going to be the exit. This is how we see it working. This is how we see it going, however you're going to work it out. But you've always got to, a savvy investor will say, hang on. What happens if this happens or that happens or the other happens? What are your alternatives? So just make sure you've got some decent alternatives. And sometimes, if you've got finance from someone else and they're making you think about it, it can make you develop a more rounded sort of process. If you're doing it just for yourself, sometimes you don't think about it. You don't question yourself. You don't, throw a metaphorical spanner in the works to make you think of alternatives. So just on this one, just think, okay, what happens if there's another lockdown? What happens if your workforce can't come to work? Because they've got to self-isolate, all these things. And sometimes there's no easy way out. There's no easy way out. And we'll come on to it lower down the list. Sometimes the only alternative can be money, more money. So there we go. But yeah, have some alternatives, some backup plans.
Okay, that's number four. Number five is, don't jump in and do anything before you know exactly what's gone wrong. So we've mentioned in the last few episodes about developers who've had things going wrong. We had the developer who had applied to get his the name of the building a new set of houses in a road and to get the name of the road, and was told what the address would be and what the postcode would be and all the rest of it. But had to wait on the council actually formally informing him. And then when they did formally inform him, they said, no, they didn't like that name. They wanted a different name. So he had to reapply, put in the form again and reapply. And the knock-on effect from that was, because he needed the address to get utilities connected, all sorts of things. So the knock-on effect was actually a loss of about 3 months. 3 months. That's the knock-on effect from just not getting the road named. So obviously he had to do a number of things. But I remember when I was talking to him the day after he'd found it, he was absolutely raging. He was going to sue the council. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. And the next thing. And I do remember saying to him, look, hang on, take a deep breath, step back, make sure you've got everything correct before you start steaming in, because you never know. Now, in his case, he had filled in the correct paperwork and he had sent it in. But I've seen many cases where the developer's gone mad, threatened to sue the council, Teddy's out the pram, all the rest of it. only to discover that he had not sent the form in, or the form had been sent in but it hadn't been signed, or they hadn't paid the fee. There was usually something. So before you end up with egg all over your face, make sure you've got all the facts before absolutely doing anything. So that's all I would say on that one.
Next one, number six, you've got to, and sometimes this is very hard to do, especially if it's very personal. It's been a lifelong project or a big dream or something like this. But when a disaster strikes, you've got to sit down and be cold and rational about it. And you've got to look at it and say, okay, the options I am now facing are A, B, C, and D, none of which are going to be good. A and B might just make me get out of this now with a small loss. C and D is going to cost me a fortune. And there comes a point where you look at what's on the table and you talk to people and you say, look, this is what I think I'm facing. What do you think? And you all look at it and you go, yep. And that might be the time when you say, well, actually, this one is just not going to happen. It's not financially viable. Think of it like insurance companies do when there's a car crash and they look at it and they say, is it worth repairing or is it an economic write-off? So in other words, the repair costs are going to be higher than the car's going to be worth. There comes a point where you draw the line and just say, no, this one is for the scrapyard. Sorry about that. Because some people, there's an old phrase, throwing good money after bad. And it comes around from things like this. So it is hard because a lot of people can be attached to it. But I don't know about you, Ray. I would say that if anyone is in this position where they have, you know, taken a risk, taken a, you know, the steps that a lot of people shy away from, I think if people have done it, even if it goes wrong, they're the sort of people that pick themselves up, dust themselves down and go again and make a success. So don't think that just one thing, you know, one project going wrong is the end of you, because I think you are very much likely to be the sort of person who has the mettle, the wherewithal, the fortitude to stand up and go again and make it work next time. So there is a cutoff point, but it doesn't mean you're out of the game.
That's it. That's it. So that's number six. So number seven. Now, Nigel, you were an accountant, professional accountant for a while. I was a lawyer. My wife is a lawyer, and this is a big one. I've lost count of the number of times, did lose count of the number of times where people came in to see me when I was practicing law, and they would say, right, I've got this challenge, I've just been served this court notice or something, something, and I'll say, okay, show me the paperwork. And then I look at it and go, it's Monday, it's 10 a.m. on Monday, and this is 4 p.m. Friday. What am I supposed to do between now and then? Because we've got other things on. And, oh, well, leaving things to the last minute. Absolutely leaving things to the last minute. I would say if it's looking like you're looking down the barrel of needing professional help, what puts a lot of people off is the expense, the cost. And that's why we advise you joining the Federation of Small Business or getting your own separate legal insurance so that you don't have that burden or that barrier. And the sooner you get professional advice, the easier it is. You don't want to leave it to the last minute. You know, my wife does employment law, and she says, you know, a number of people that come to see her with only days to go. Why do they leave it? And that's employers as well as employees. They're both equally as guilty. And I'm sure, Nigel, you probably had it when you were doing accountancy, whatever accountants do when you were bashing that abacus about. You would have had...
Hold on, you and your double entendres today. I mean, who are misses? it's a strange one because normally what happens is when you're in a situation like that, whether you're an employer or you know business owner or something like that, what you tend to do is you tend to reach. Everyone's got a little cupboard at the back of the office, and they'll open the door and they'll reach in and they'll take out the large bucket full of sand. And they will just simply plunge their head into it and you know, reemerge about a week later. And guilty, I'm guilty of it. But yeah, most people are. And it's weird because anything like that, I mean, I've got some accounts and I'm having conversations saying, look, not wishing to sort of panic here, but these need filing within 2 days. you know, are they ready? I keep saying, are they ready? Do you need any help? Are they ready? And it's like, for goodness sake, these things need signing off. We've had 9 months to do this. What's going on? And it's, yeah, it's one of those situations. But yeah, it's a weird one. And the trouble is as well, folks, I think when Gordon Brown came in and he said, the first thing I'm going to do is simplify tax and the law and legalities. I was told that after 10 years of them being in power, there were an additional 10,000 pieces of employment law alone. And it was kind of, you are not going to cope with this, folks. Yeah. You're not going to be able to do it. You can have a go. But I've stood up in tribunals and I've gone in and the first thing the judges said is, well, what's all this? It didn't have a piece of paper at the front saying the title or something. It was like being back in the headmasters. And he went, oh, well, we'll carry on anyway, sort of thing. And I felt like getting on my knees and thanking him profusely. But you can make an absolute cock of it so easily if you don't get it. And it's a bit like tax. Whenever you are planning things, put in enough for professional fees. I don't think people do. You know, you've got to put in enough for professional fees. It is, it's only still going to be a small proportion of the deal overall. But people, yeah. I mean, look, I'm a Yorkshireman. I've got short arms, deep pockets. You know, it's very hard to find the coins in there to pay these people. So, you know, I don't want to. Mm. And if I could try and avoid it, I would. But you can't. So you've got to be sensible. You've got to get your hand in your pocket. You've got to pay these people. And then if they make a horlicks of it, sue them.
So I guess number seven would be, if you're going to speak to professionals, speak to them earlier if you can, especially in, you know, if you're dealing with finance, especially if you're dealing with employment law, especially if you're dealing with health and safety, especially if you're dealing with people, if you're dealing with other people, you're going to need to speak to professionals early. So that's number seven.
Next one up. It's amazing how many people I have spoken to. When you were talking about it earlier, and you know, with I'm going to sue them, I'm going to sue everyone, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go around with a baseball bat, and you go, well, you haven't got a baseball bat, and you are the most, you know, non-threatening person I've ever met, and they're enormous, and they're going to take that bat and they're going to hit you over the head with it. So just calm down, because sometimes, you know, is it really a disaster? Sleep on it. You know, maybe just take a breather for an hour. Let's, as you say, Ray, gather the facts. Let's see where we're actually at. Let's see what our contingency plans are. Do not jump in and make something that is borderline, we can pull this one back, into a never coming back situation. You know, you antagonize people, you upset other people, or the situation just explodes. It could have been contained and it wasn't. You only need to look on social media. Someone makes a bit of a gaffe and everyone jumps on them and they turn back and they snarl back, at which point more people pile in and something that could have been dealt with very easily explodes. Hmm. You know? And the newspaper headlines are always, it's gone viral. 8 people shared it. It's gone viral or something like that. You know, there's no scale. So just take a moment, take a second, pause, have a think. How many people out there, I've done it, I've written an email. It is a stonking email. It basically points out everything that is wrong with them, from their hairstyle to their shoes and everything in between, and how much I hate them, but I didn't send it. I just wanted to vent my spleen. I wrote it down. I didn't send it. I came back in the morning, read it, and was quite frankly embarrassed at my reaction and just thought, come on. I left school, you know, about 10 years ago. I'm still in my youth, obviously. And yeah, you know, you leave those things in the playground, don't you?
Yeah.
Some people don't. So if that's you, make sure you get someone else to respond on your behalf. Don't jump in. Yeah. Don't jump in with both feet and make a poor situation terrible.
Wise words from the wise woman. Okay. Number nine, then. If you're an investor, do not be surprised if you're asked to provide more money for a project, especially building development, especially now with commodity prices and labor prices going up. So there are a few financial appraisals that have been shredded over the last 12 months, and especially recently. And we've now, you know, we have supply chain issues, etc. And those have a knock-on effect. And even now, as we speak, and we're in the end of September, there's fuel challenges, people having difficulty getting fuel. That is going to have knock-on effects as well. So do not be surprised if you're asked to provide more money around the disaster or the challenge that's facing you. I said to a guy yesterday, I said, with all this, you know, faffing around at the fuel pumps and all the rest of it, I said, the newspapers next week will see more people being arrested for using red diesel when they shouldn't have been using. I said, that'll be the next logical step. You know, red diesel, the farmers get it at reduced prices for their farm machinery. But the temptation will be there, obviously, to put it in the car. And obviously, if we're talking about it, the police will know about that and they'll be out there and so on. And in fact, I was looking at it the other day because I mentioned it. My daughter asked me, she said, well, what's red diesel? So I had to look it up and tell her when you can use it, and you can't use it, you know, more than a couple of miles away from your farm and all this kind of carry on. So I said, yeah, that will be the inevitable thing. But anyway, digressing for a second, but don't be surprised if you're asked to provide more money to help the project or the business to get its way out of the challenge. So that's number nine.
And finally, number 10, look, come on. Not everything in life goes well. If anyone comes up to me and says, it's like at the moment when people, you know, I was talking to someone and they were talking about mental health and they said, they were talking about something. And I said, hang on. I said, everyone has these issues going on in their head. If I met someone that said they didn't have a mental health problem, I'd say you're top of the list because you clearly have a very big mental health problem. Because everyone, listen, folks, it's not all sweetness and light. You know, it's not going to go your way. As Dolly Parton said, you know, when the ship comes in and all the rest of it, it's not all going to go your way. And there is nothing wrong with failure. But the weird thing is, I think, Ray, you kind of, when were you ever at school and you had that really good balance between competitive, winning, failure, pick yourself up, go again? They kind of got it wrong. And it was, if you failed, it was this kind of, oh, well, it's the taking part that counts. And it was not the, hey, look, not everyone can win. There's only you know, one winner in a game like this. So one side's got to lose. But what you got to do is learn how to come back from that failure, that defeat, and come back next time and be able to go again. I remember someone, they had a great conversation, and the teacher was trying to explain to them and said, look, said, it doesn't matter. Said, you know, we're playing this game and the result doesn't matter. You know, it's all about playing the game. The result doesn't matter. And this kid put his hand up and he just said, well, why do we keep score? Mm. And the teacher went, you know, there's no answer to that. And we like to know scores. We like to know if you win or lose. But there's nothing wrong. If you've given it your all, then there's nothing wrong if, you know, things go against you. Coronavirus, the pandemic, the government's reaction, whatever has gone on, has impacted certain people in a certain way, which you may well take on as a personal failure. You shouldn't. You should say that was circumstance. I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to come back and I'm going to make myself more resilient. Because if we go back to one of the earlier ones, number four, do you have a backup plan? Do you have an alternative? And it may be that next time, if you failed this time in the disaster, it's wiped you out. Next time you come back stronger, having learned from it, and you've got the resilience. So, hey, no shame in an honest failure.
No, that's for sure. Well, we have to close that loop there. You mentioned Dolly Parton. Were you going to quote some lyrics from a song there?
Working 9 to 5.
All right. Okay. All right. I had to close that loop there. I thought, we're going to end on Dolly Parton and a quote for 10 tips for dealing with disaster.
Yeah, there you go. Jump into the shower and the blood starts pumping. We'll leave it right there, shall we?
Well, people that are listening to this, most people we know are self-employed. They have their own business. They're doing developments. They're raising finance for property. They're raising finance for EIS, Enterprise Investment Scheme, that sort of thing. And most people are adaptable, resourceful. They can improvise. They can resolve the challenges. They have perseverance. They've got grit, fortitude, and as you said, Nigel, resilience. These are things that will help you through if you're dealing with a disaster. So hopefully that list has been useful. I'll go over it again. People have said they like it when we recap at the end, and it will be in the show notes as well, I'm sure. But here we go. In my smashy and dicey voice, not off, mate. See, Nigel, you can't see this in the podcast, but he's shaking his head. He's almost putting his hand on his forehead.
Watch it on the YouTube. Watch it on the YouTube, because I've got my head in my hands a couple of times.
Please, right, top 10, here we go. And write it at number one. Right, so disasters come in all kinds of disguises. Don't ignore your gut feeling. Number two, make sure that the obvious thing to prevent a disaster are all fixed. So we talked about insurance, that sort of thing. So Nigel, I'll do the first five. You can do the next five, okay? Stay informed. Keep in touch with your accountants and your architects so you know if there's any challenges on the horizon. As Nigel said, number four, have a backup plan in place for all the obvious disasters that might occur. And then number five, once you know that there's a challenge, gather all the facts before you do anything.
Okay, number six, this is the economic write-off. Is it time to call it a day and walk away from it? Sometimes it might be. Number seven, get professional advice, especially when it comes to employment, financial, legal matters. You know, make sure you've got yourself covered there. Number eight, don't make a bad situation worse. Just pause. Pause and think, have I got this correct? Is there a way out of this? Don't make it worse by a snap reaction. Number nine, it ties in, as we said earlier, if you've got alternatives, backup plans, don't be surprised if you need to add in a bit more money to make this now work. And then number 10, finally, hey, read Richard Branson's book. Anything about Richard Branson? You know, there have been some honest failures. There's been a lot of failures in there, you know, with Richard Branson, but we still regard him as a success. So whenever you're feeling, you know, like something's going completely wrong, bounce back. Think of it. I'm going to come back like Richard Branson. I'll be back.
And so there we are. What a podcast. We have covered Dolly Parton. We've covered lots of innuendo and double entendres. And hopefully that's been useful if you've been listening to this. There will be all the information in the show notes. And if you need to get in touch with us, contact us at htrmoney.co.uk. You can get us there and we will help in any way that we can. Anything else to finish off this podcast with, Nigel?
No, just make sure you get to the website, htrmoney.co.uk. There's resources in there. There's also links to Ray, one of your programs. There's one of mine, if anyone's interested in being able to create website opt-in emails. There's some free training in there, how you can do that. You can also get some free resources, templates. There's loads of stuff there for you folks. And we would love some more reviews on the old podcast. So if you feel like giving that a go, please do. There's even in there, there's even a link. I think there's a link in the show notes as well. You can download and it just shows you the five steps to being, sticking a review on. We'd really appreciate it. Sharing is caring. If you've got anyone out there that you think, they would love that episode. They love a good disaster movie, a Steve McQueen type thing, you know, a towering inferno. I'll send them this. They're just in that situation or something like that. That would be great. Really appreciate it. And until then, Ray.
Until then, until the next time. I've been Ray McLennan.
There we are. He nearly forgot. We're getting, we're still coaching him, folks. He's still young. And I'm Nigel Tebas. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?